I like Sexton. I think he does great things. You created that monster yourself.
Since we got the question, I'm going to answer it. I'm going to have to say,
what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 8 of Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael, of course, Ryan Villopoto here. Man, we get to do another one. But before we get going, first of all, we got to thank United Motorsports, Foxo USA, and of course, Quadlock. Coming up later on in the show, we're going to have our Quadlock question of the week. We're going to answer some questions from the fans as well. So we got some good ones this week. So I think you guys are going to like it. Got some good answers. But RV, you were at spring break with the kiddos. We were at Atlanta Motor Speedway. How was your week, first and foremost?
Yeah, my week was awesome, man. Enjoyed San Antonio. The Hyatt Regency was a phenomenal place. Boys had had a great time relaxing for myself and my wife. So got home Friday night late and turned the tube on for Saturday. And, you know, got to watch Atlanta. So, yeah, overall, great week.
Do you like those speedways like that or no?
You know, to be honest, I said this to a couple of people already. It kind of looked to me like an old Daytona. Like, I never got to ride what my dad talking about Daytona, how gnarly it was, where they just kind of piled the dirt on top of the grass and left the grass. And, you know, you've rode it. I know MCU, like a lot of old guys are like, or older generation racers are like, dude, the track's gnarly. And when I raced Daytona, yes, gnarly, different conditions, but this Georgia, the Atlanta Supercross, to me, reminded me of old footage of you watching you, MC, Travis Pastrana, you know, at Daytona. It definitely looked way more technical and rough and gnarly than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, it was a good track, long track, fast. Before we get going here and diving in later on in the show, we're going to talk about some fun stuff. Obviously, East Rutherford, New Jersey this weekend coming up, 250 East West Showdown. That's always fun. We're going to pick that apart later on. But I think first and foremost, dude, heck of a ride for Sexton, huh? I mean, the guy he got it done.
Yeah, he got put himself in a phenomenal position off the start, and he pretty much led. Well, he did. He led from start to finish. Rode very consistent, smooth. I know everybody was kind of waiting. We heard that on the interview afterwards. Like everybody's at a press conference, everybody's waiting for me to crash. But he held it together. And you know, I don't know if a part of that's a little bit of you know, a little pressure off of him, being that he is a big chunk of points out of it. Cooper and Eli they raced each other that whole race, and Chase was kind of on his own, you know, so not a lot of pressure, I think. And that's what it's going to take, is him getting a few of those races where he wins very easily like that to, I think, build that confidence. And then he'll have what he's been missing in the past so far this season.
A couple things to your point, like at that presser after the race, what you were talking about, like, I think he took a jab. He certainly took a jab at me, you know, saying, I bet the broadcast was talking about him 10 lap, which, hey, I like Sexton. I think he does great things, but you created that monster yourself. That's all on you, dude. So
I mean, you're just giving us the talking points.
Yeah, I know, right? We talked about however many points he's lost from crashing, and you can't not expect it for us to talk about it. And, you know, so you dug that hole yourself, big boy. So you gotta own up and listen to it. But, nevertheless, to your point, it was great to see him finally execute. And another thing that he said that really stuck out to me, and I want to hear what you had to say, is he said that he didn't focus on short laps and he really focused on longer laps throughout the week and did longer motos, no short sprints, no heat races and all that. So in my opinion, I think that's great. I think that's what he needed to do. I think obviously that has been his shortfall all season. And what do you know? Look what happened. He made it happen. So great job. Great job, dude. Love seeing you rise to the occasion and do what you're supposed to do and you're capable of. What's your thoughts?
You know, I think I see, I see quite a bit of that. It seems like these days of people super worried about what their lap times are or being first in practice for good gate pick. But during the week, I can only go back to what worked for me. I kind of know what you did. You know, we both had the same trainer, Eldon. Yep. And, you know, we for sure would work on sprint laps, but 80% of our workload was long laps. If you can't mentally stay in the game for 20 minutes and you end up going, you know, pushing the front wheel because you're mentally struggling. Anybody can do 5, 6, 8 laps all out, fastest time, you know, heat race style. Those are easy, but you add the 20 minutes to it, or 20 laps, one of the two. That's the mental side of it. So I see these guys, I think, putting too much emphasis on the short sprint stuff. Even for me, I see guys doing one lap sprints sometimes. And I'm like, what's one lap? I mean, anybody can do one lap. Like, tie together three of your fastest laps. You lay it, you leave it all out on the track for three laps. 1 to 3 laps is a big difference than just going out and doing one. And that's what I feel like a lot of these guys do now. They focus too much on the short game and not the long game.
Well, we sit here, we gave our, this is our insight, everyone listening to Title 24, and we appreciate you. But we got some sound on tape from the man himself to see if what he says lines up to what we're thinking and how he's doing.
This week, I did pretty much all motos, no heat races, no sprints, nothing. So I really focused on the final 10 minutes of the main event. And when I hit 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, this is where you make it or break it. And that was my mindset. But as soon as the race is over, it kind of hit me. I'm like, all right, we got through that one. And now we can break through and start clicking some off. Yeah, it's all or nothing. So knowing you have to win is definitely tough. But I've definitely gained some confidence after last weekend. I feel like I rode well. I just didn't get great starts. And this weekend, the start was my starts weren't great, but I snuck around the first corner pretty well and got out front. So if I can keep doing that and put myself in good positions, we should be sitting good. But it yeah, anything can happen. And they were a little bit farther back, Eli and Cooper, this weekend. So still pretty far out, but gotta win some more of these races.
What do you think is going to be for you to believe and for you to think that he is going to pull this off? Like, where's the breaking point for you?
Well, because we're on the Sexton topic, I have to throw out before we dive in any deeper is with his red cross flag mistake, he would be, if that would have not happened, he'd be within 10 points of Eli and Coop. So now looking at it, I feel like being inside of 10 points, Cooper and Eli have to stay on their game. Right now, it's a two horse race, in my opinion, personally, being 17 down.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to say I think it's a two horse race. I think it's being 17 down is with 4 to go. And look, anything can happen. We've seen it. But as of right now, Coop, very consistent. Eli, very consistent. Both veterans. Both have won this championship before. So this isn't something new. They've been in this headspace before. Chase has not, right? So I personally think with the mistakes we've seen from Chase this past season, being that we're 4 races out, if you put him up there with being within 3 or 4 points from them, I think that the pressure and being in that space personally from what I've seen this season would get to him. First champ, it would be his first ever Supercross premier class championship. Yeah. And as you know, that brings a whole set of different, you know, thought processes and pressure. And right now I feel like he's riding to his best ability. There's not a ton of pressure. Back to silly season, we've heard nothing's confirmed, but should be moving on to KTM. So there's not a ton of pressure from HRC either. Sure, they all want to win Chase on the way out, right? But they know he's moving on. So yeah, that's kind of my take on it. I don't think there's a ton of pressure there, but for the championship, that is.
Yeah, I think for me, I look at it a little different. I think that if he can bag another win this weekend, okay, then I'm definitely gonna perk up a little more. He's gonna need some help for sure. Because when you know how it is, when you start getting to the this part in the series, like, okay, I need to win out. This guy needs to do this. You start role playing. And obviously, that's not the position you want to be in. But for me, if he wins this weekend, I'll be like, okay, it's game on. So that's kind of my standpoint. But at the same time, you and I, we were all kind of chatting before recording today. And it's like, I'm so mentally tired of, trying to guess who I think is going to do what and looking at all these stats and blah, 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 dude, it's just go time at this point. If you want to be champion, you got to grab it and go.
That's right. I agree. I mean, from all of them, it's so close with Eli and Coop. They're both going to have to be on their game with these four rounds left. And coming up, we got New York Open Stadium. Weather's always could be a factor there. So, you know, then we go to Salt Lake. It's at altitude. It's Open Stadium there also. So we have some really good final rounds coming up that could have some throw a big wrench in the program.
Moving on, I think, the two champ guy, two guys up front, Cooper gained a point. There's a couple takeaways, but before we get going, we got a little sound from Cooper Webb, the two-time champ. He's 6 points back. Let's hear what he has to say. Looked like he was pretty fired up.
Yeah, I rode like honestly. That's the bottom line. The leaders got away, and obviously Eli was all over me, so that was the main goal, to keep him behind me. But yeah, man, just was off, didn't feel comfortable, but got to take these bad days and just go what you got to do. Track was gnarly, but yeah, we got to regroup and get better. That was not good. So get back to the truck. We'll do some homework and come back swinging next week.
Dude, he is fired up, dude.
Yeah, you can see very, very frustrated after that. Put himself in a great position by obviously beating Eli, not let Eli getting an extra point on him, but also, you know, off the podium, and to get the points he needs to be up front there, and especially winning. You know, you get that 3-point gap, that makes a huge difference. Can you imagine if it would have been Coop first and Eli fifth? We'd have a points change and a real wire to wire coming down to the finish.
Hey, give our viewers and listeners an idea of why you think, because he made up a point, because I feel like a lot of people are probably thinking, well, he gained a point, he should be pumped. Explain to everyone why Coop is fired up and wasn't happy with that.
You know, I ultimately the first point is he's out there to win, and we, every one of us, are out there to win, right? So that's the first kind of blow to the knees, is didn't win, you know, put all that work in and it didn't show that weekend. Number two is I feel like he's seen an opportunity there that he not necessarily gave up, but gave up because he had Eli in front of him. Eli couldn't do anything with him. But like I just brought up, can you imagine if he would have been second or first or, you know, third and had a couple guys in between? We would have really sucked up the gap. So I think the frustration was, man, I had Eli behind me, but I couldn't make anything. I couldn't pull away from him. I couldn't bridge the gap up to the guys in front of me and can really capitalize on those points.
Yeah, I think exactly. And just to expand on that, so we're watching some replay here, and this is where you guys tuned in this weekend. You saw, I mean, Eli was all over him, and he would lose a lot of time. Eli would in the first set of whoops. And then Coop would kind of make it back in the second set of whoops. But to your point, RV, is, yeah, I think a guy like that, like Cooper Webb, yourself, me, Eli, I think it's the potential points he could have gained on Eli is what he's probably really pissed about, that he wasn't able to capitalize on that opportunity. And the big talk this weekend, I mean, he's been pretty vocal about his bike and he needs to be better and it needs to get better. And we know how that relationship is there for, I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to be out of there at the end of the series, but you know, I guess he had some smaller, diameter forks. I went to 48 millimeter forks is what I heard. If that's the case, I don't know that it was any better. I mean, he didn't get any positions better, but I want to hear what you had to say, but before I say that, I think, and I'm just going to be straight up, I think trying to find a good setting for the bike for sure is good. I appreciate that, but you just have to find a way at this point with four races to go. The bike's going to be what it's going to be. I don't think you're going to find a magic setting. I don't think that's my opinion. You got to go out there and get after it, because RV, you know, your bike always wasn't the best. There's been a lot of great champions that weren't on the best bikes and made it happen. And he's at that point to where he's, if he wants to win this championship, the bike is what it is. Go get it.
I agree. I think, you know, KTM's always, you know, WP's always had that option for 52 millimeter forks. And this has been a, when Alessi rode KTM, oh, got 52 millimeter forks, you know, like it's the big talk. It's been, they've had these around for a very long time. And most of, you know, Showa, KYB, the other two manufacturers that are out there for suspension, they end up running 48 millimeter forks. I think there's KYB might have a 50 also. I think they have a 50 millimeter fork. To be honest, really, I've never really dove into 50s and 48s. I don't see that where he's going to find what he's actually looking for. You might get a little more or less rigidity out of it. It might feel better in his hands. But as to your point of like, did it help this weekend? I don't know if it helped this weekend. You could have flip-flopped them, put Eli in front of them. And I think Eli probably, without trying to ride behind Coop and trying to figure out where to pass, probably could have rode away from him slowly, not fast, like some weekends we've seen. But I think Eli could have inched away from him if we would have just turned the tables around. So like it comes down to, four races left. You're not going to find the magic tool. It's going to come down to essentially willpower and putting yourself in a great position. Starting position off the line. Both Eli and Coop didn't start off super great in that main event. And you can see they made a few quick passes very early, and then it just basically maintained itself to the checkers.
Yeah, that was and I got to give credit. This wasn't the quad lock question of the week, but that type of question that I asked you was from one of our fans, Hollister172 underscore. He just basically said, same thing I asked you, is Webb happy beating Eli, or is he frustrated on getting a fourth? So there you go. We appreciate all of your guys' questions. Moving along, we got another question in RV. They want to know, this is from Flyer896. It says, RV, you closed out 14 Supercross with four in a row after not many wins. Can Coop emulate that?
Different era. We were just talking about this, myself and Ricky. You know, what is different? And it seems like, you know, we can't rely on these guys. And it's not that we can't rely on them for, you know, Ryan Villopoto's going to win, or Dungey's going to win. Like the field is deeper. So you put yourself in that position of like I just mentioned, not the greatest start, but they salvaged some positions. That is very hard to come through with the depth of the field. I think, you know, we talked about it from you. It was RC and MC, and then it was RC and Chad, and then James kind of popped in. But everything after that, there was really nobody really there. And then it changed to me, and it was me, Dunge, Chad, James. But then after that, it was kind of gone. Like, there wasn't a ton of guys. Not that, you know, a bad weekend, yeah, you'd get Barcia up there, but ultimately you kind of could put a blanket over us. This current situation we're in is there's just so many guys, the field's so deep, there's so many factory positions available now compared to what it was with Gas Husky, KTM, you know, it just makes the field that much deeper.
What I take away, that is awesome. What I take away, and you tell me if I'm wrong. So like after the race, I rewatched it and I was really thinking about, okay, was Cooper gaining that 1 point more impressive, or were you more surprised at Eli following Coop? Like he was all over him the whole track, right? On NASCAR turn one side, and then NASCAR turn four side, like, and then he would get to the first set of whoops, Coop would jump, and then like Eli would just slow up. He wouldn't jump through there. And so then he'd lose, let's just say, 8 to 10 bike lengths, and then he'd have to hurry up and try to make it back up. Like, so to me, I was telling James this. I said, really, I feel like Eli should have tried something different. Coop was right in front of you. You would be right up his tail the whole time, and then he'd yard you just that little bit. Like, I don't know if Eli isn't comfortable jumping, but in my opinion, I feel like you just got to find a way. Like, I feel you know, like if you and I were racing and I were behind you, I'm going to jump. Like if you're pulling away from me, I'm going to at least try it. And I'd like,
well,
what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. I actually thought the same thing. I'm like, I feel like Eli, if he could have stayed just that much closer in the first set of whoops. And that's what I was like, okay, he's tried to blitz them. I was watching. I was like, okay, he's tried 3-4 times blitzing the things. And he's losing probably 2/10, I would say 3/10 sometimes through him, that he would have to make up on the rest of the track. And Eli wasn't that much quicker to make that up. So sometimes it'd take him 2-3 laps to make those 2-3 tenths back up, or a little mistake from Cooper, right? So I agree with that. I feel like Eli should have, after the third or fourth attempt of blitzing the first set of whoops, that he should have tried to jump them to put himself in a better position to stay close to hopefully running it on him somewhere, because they were so close. I thought it was a poor decision on that side of not realizing that jumping him was quicker. But I will say I was a terrible jump. I could not jump whoops. I probably would have done the same thing Eli did, was kept
really
going because I just couldn't jump the whoops.
So you would have just been like, all right,
I've tried in the past. I like, dude, why didn't you jump the whoops? Because I can't jump the whoops. Like, I don't know if it was a little bit of bike setup. For some reason, I would always hang my linkage underneath the swing arm on the top of the whoop. And it's probably just because I didn't have enough practice, because during the week at the test tracks, we don't jump the whoops. Like, it's a big no-no to jump the whoops. But when there's certain scenarios when they pop up like this right out of a turn, where the second set you could jump those, the first set they were just so gnarly, I would have pursued blitzing them. But I feel like I've seen Eli Daytona, he jumped them. There's been a handful of rounds that he has jumped them this year, that most of the field has jumped them to that, and why not try it there?
Right. Hey, this Barcia and Kenny deal, like this little battle for fourth in the championship, and Anderson, he still has a shot there. This one was a tough one, but for a good reason. Congratulations, Anderson. Congrats on your baby. I think that's awesome. You know how special that is, RV. But going back and touching on Barcia and Roczen, dude, Barcia's killing it. That was a great run by Kenny, obviously. But I mean, dude, the last 5 weeks, I know we've been talking about it. I feel like he can get a win here.
I kind of, you know what? I agree. I hope so. To see a different winner would be awesome. But I've said this on the show before. I think this is Barcia's best year he's been riding since he's been pro, honestly, like especially in the 450 class. He's consistent. Every single weekend, he puts himself in a good position. Sure, he's had some typical Barcia move, issues early in the season, but he had in the last 2 weekends, he's had some really good chances to be that typical Barcia of running it in, getting AMA involved and all these things, which doesn't help him as much as he maybe thinks it does. I think he was asked that question. Like, I feel like you could have, somebody asked, I feel like you could have ran it in him. He goes, I probably could have, but using his brain and being smarter in that position, also, put himself in a great position. He was able to jump on Kenny. If he would have come in and ran him high, they both would have went down, or maybe Kenny would have went down and then he would have got the position, or maybe Justin goes down. There's a lot of factors that come into kind of riding the way he has typically in the past in these positions. So I give him huge props. Best season that he's had, in my opinion. And he's riding very well and smart.
Well, you know what? He talked about that, him being a new man. And we got a little tape from it.
Yeah, I was smart. I seen some spots I could have went for the move, but knew me, right? Right? There was a few spots, but how many days I'm clean am I now? Quite. You're the stat guy. You let's know. I got somebody this year. Actually, I got Chase, actually, but that was not intentional, right? That's what I always say. It wasn't intentional. I mean, it wasn't, but it happened. But yeah, I've been clean for a while, so I've seen some opportunities, and I just was like, "Hey, be cool,
don't relapse.
It's just a heat race, don't relapse."
And honestly, it threw me off. I was like, "Dude, I thought you were going for it."
I was going for it, but then I just clean.
Did you think about it though? Did you consider it?
That's a bad question. You know the answer to that question. I thought, but I was like, just be smart.
look at Barsha. He's like, dude, that's a dumb question. Come on, DB, you got to be better than that. I'm teasing you.
That is
an awkward moment. But hey, dude, good job, JB, for riding the way that you have and not taking those chances or making those moves. I know that's not your style and you're trying to change, but I can tell you from personal experience and racing guys that have been aggressive and it goes a long ways. It goes a long ways. And I feel like it's only going to be better for you. I think there's a time and a place for it, but look, he's doing well. And I think that's part of the reason why he's doing so well outside of how good he's been riding, you know, waiting for those passes and not getting caught up in the moment. And like, most of the time, you know, the pass is going to present itself at some stage.
Yeah, I agree. I think he said it there. I just said it too. I think I'm going to say it again. Best season so far for Justin.
Oh, yeah.
And cleaning that up and having those opportunities, but having the willpower of to not mm-hmm. blow it in there and just cause more controversy that nobody needs, especially him. He's on a roll right now. And if he can get a win, it'd be huge for himself and Gas. I think it'd be Gas. Would it be Gas first win?
No, I think they won. They won in Houston, I believe.
Second. It'd be their second win.
Yeah. So. It'd be their second. So they got it, dude. They're so close. So this isn't another. Got another great fan question, and you know I don't make predictions, RV. So and I'm gonna put you in this spot. So Matto_211 says, "Who takes fourth in the championship, Barsha or Ken, and why?" I give my analysis. I don't make predictions, and I already talked about it at the top of the show. It's too much brain power for me to sit here and try to guess. I could bring up good points for both guys.
Yeah. Well, since we got the question and we're going to answer it, I'm going to have to say, just going off of, I'm looking at the entire season, every gate drop, watching and knowing the tracks that are coming up that, like I said, altitude at Utah, New York could be a technical track. I'm going to lean on Barsha just because of his season, it's riding well. And those tracks that are going to play issues with certain people. Justin's been around for a long time, but same with Kenny. So is he, but it doesn't seem as much bothers Justin as sometimes it does Kenny.
There you go. Well,
there's all the right. Prediction.
We appreciate the questions. That's enough on the 450, don't you think? I mean, it's like, who the heck knows what's going to happen this weekend, right?
Yep.
Move along to the 250. It was really uneventful for the most part. There were a couple moments, for sure, that we're going to get into here in a second. But Hunter's doing Hunter, man. It's pretty incredible to watch what he's able to do and just how smooth he is. But we're watching Hunter right here for the save of the week. And I don't know if he gets off sequence, but that was an unbelievable save. And I feel like at some point there, RV, he was just like, dude, it's game over and I'm just going to ride this thing out. And it's like he relaxed his body, just let the bike do what it's going to do. But can you believe that save?
Yeah, he was definitely along for the ride.
Dude.
You know, came up a little short, and I feel like watching it kind of looks like he felt like he was okay. And then here he was, and then it blew his feet off, and then he was along for the ride. You know, amazing save. That was something that I read seemed like guys were getting a little confused in certain areas of the track, maybe because it was just so long, so many doubles, so many combinations of jumps. You know, maybe was it just a little bit of a mental brain fart kind of, or was it just surely that he came up a little short mentally? He thought he was going to be fine. Cause there's been times like that where I've been out there, I'll be fine. And all of a sudden you hit something. And you're like, dude, I was not expecting that. And that could have been that moment too, where, okay, I'll be fine casing this one. And then, then I case another one, foot blows off. And then the train comes off the rails.
the Jace, or no, the underscore J79, he says, how do you rate Hunter's Bush Onion save? Which I loved that. Don't know what the heck. I don't know what a Bush Onion is.
Can you bring one of those to the next press conference?
That, and dude, his reply to Daniel, I think it was, about his brother dog sitting was all time.
Yeah, make sure Jax and Milo have their dinner on time and Milo doesn't steal Jax's food. He's currently at my house puppy sitting. So when I come home, I hope to see a roof still on it and all the neighbors still like me. So you're accountable.
So you answered. You answered his question on Hunter's save. I know you probably just love this question, but he also says, what's your best save?
Oh, what's my best save? Man, put me on the spot. I have to go back to YouTube and watch all these.
I tell you where, saves. Hey, you want a good save? Like for me personally, watch 2001. New Orleans Supercross. It was, I don't know, maybe 7-8 laps into the main. You gotta watch it. I don't know how I saved it, but yeah, it was after a triple, then there was a single, and then I come up short, and I was just, yeah, like kind of to Hunter's point, just along for the ride, and don't know how I did it, but I was able to remount. So that was, I don't know if that was my best save. But it's a fun save to watch. And dude, I was out of control a lot. So I've had a lot of saves, dude.
I always liked the one. I think it was either Honda or Suzuki. And you landed on, it was, I think it was a triple onto a tabletop maybe or something. And you landed on the tough blocks.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God the tough blocks didn't grab the foot peg or anything. Yeah. And you were literally on them, and then it shot. You stayed on the track, never crashed. I mean, yeah. By the way, folks, those are foam for the ones who don't know.
That was
foam tough blocks.
Vancouver.
Vancouver, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, they're foam tough blocks. So when you land on them, it's like landing on a marshmallow. Like it wants to grab the motorcycle like tremendously. Yeah. So
you don't know where you're going to go, right? You don't know where you're going to
go. Not.
No. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I will say, we appreciate the question and everyone, and we're in your interaction. That's such a tough question, I think, for anybody, because along the way, I mean, if you don't have a moment that sticks out in your head right then and there, I feel like it's so hard to answer. And you think of the countless races that we've been in and all the practice sessions that we've been in. It's like, unless someone reminds you, it's so hard to really pinpoint on what that
exactly.
is
exactly. Yeah,
dude, hate it for Nate Thrasher. That's a bummer. I think as a whole, though, I think if you look at his season, there's a lot of positives to take away and go into that 2024 season. I believe I think he's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's been riding very well. You know, he put himself in some really good positions, but yeah, I haven't seen the replay of the crash at Atlanta, but I think you saw it, you said, and hit the ground very hard. Looks like a hip, popped his hip out, I heard.
Yep.
And we already know the ACL. So as for Nate, I would only suspect that with a hip injury, collarbone also, and then with the current knee injury, that all those will be fixed. So we won't probably see him outdoors. Mm-hmm. He'll be laid up for a while. You know, it's such a bummer. It's part of the sport. But I think, you know, I've always said this every time I've kind of gotten hurt, the time off the motorcycle, your brain's never off, really off, but the pressure's off of you. But you're always thinking like, okay, when am I going to get back? How am I, you know, where am I going to stack up to these guys again? But the time off the motorcycle in a situation like this, a lot of times can be better. I remember doing my ACL one year, took the whole summer off, came back, and Eldon and Casey, my practice mechanic, looked at me and goes, you're faster now than you were when you left. And I think a lot of that's just you're more energized to come back and ride your motorcycle.
Yeah, you're more motivated, not so burnt and fried. And
yep, you're not so burnt out. So this could be, nobody wants to get hurt. It's obviously not good for anybody's career, but I think this could be a good little lull for him that eventually will get him back up to the top or even further up to the top.
Right, right. All right, before we get to I think that's enough on Atlanta. We beat that one down. All great stuff. The boys keep giving us some great content to talk about. We got some great fans that follow us on Title 24 and on our personal Instagram and Twitter pages. We appreciate you guys. Before we get to the quad lock question of the week, let's thank our great partners, United Motorsports. They got everything that you need. Go online, check them out. If you want a little discount, you can use promo code TITLE24. It's site-wide. They got it all. Check it out. There are 6 locations across Ohio and Kentucky. So if you're around that area, pop in there. If not, go on their website. They got it going on, and Boxo USA, boxousa.com. Remember, you can use our promo code for them as well. Lifetime warranty. They'll get you dialed. We talk about their product every single week here. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. Great quality. Like I said, I know I talk about it every week, but the lifetime guarantee is pretty sweet, and it's super easy to get a replacement. And then last but not least, quad lock case. Great cases, have all your mount needs, cases, screen covers, phone chargers. I got my kids a whole bunch of phone chargers. I personally like that and think it's good. Check them out, quadlockcase.com. So we appreciate all of you guys. We appreciate your support. We got some great partners, and all of our listeners and viewers, check them out. So there you go. Quad lock question of the week, Nate Soxo. We have all these questions, and I really liked this question that that Nate brought to us. He asks me which current riders, 450 or 250, remind you of yourselves? Riding styles, charisma, track breakdown. And at first, the reason that I almost overlooked it was because, and I want to hear what you have to say also, RV, is I was overlooking it because I don't think there's any rider today and in today's generation that really would have been same to me. And I've always told close friends around that RV and I always felt like RV was closest to my style than any other rider in the paddock. I think we had a similar stature. He steered with the rear end. I did that a lot. And quite frankly, we were just there to take care of business. You know, I know a lot of people always said I wasn't having fun. I was winning is always fun. Right. But I just felt like you were willing to ride that ragged edge when you had to, but it was a calculated edge. I feel like your competitors knew how tough you were. And I felt like I had some of that same stuff as well. So I feel there's no one in the current generation of that has those kind of qualities. I wouldn't say qualities, but same isms, if you will. So that to answer your question, Nate, for me, I feel like RV would be the guy who I think I would have more similar characteristics. So that's it for me. RV, what about you? Anyone today or in the past?
You know, I think the difference between, let's bring up Jason Anderson, just because he rides a bit, you know, very loose, you know, hangs off the bike, taller than obviously both me and you. But I could see some similarities where the hanging out part really kind of being able to ride it on the edge. The difference I see between Jason is really the only one I can relate to is I don't think whereas either confident in riding that edge, or because it seems like myself and you were able to ride that edge, but also still know the limit without making a mistake or crashing, putting ourselves in a situation that was riding over our head, riding too far, too much, asking too much out of the motorcycle or asking too much out of the track. Yeah. I see Jason has points out there, or he has races out there where he's pushing it and you know he's on the ragged edge and he holds it together, but also he's got probably more times that he doesn't hold it together than he does. And I think that's the big difference, is we could hang it out on the edge, but we were also, I would say, more calculated, I guess. knew how far we could push it, and we're okay with that. I think the big thing is when guys feel uncomfortable, if they don't do it enough, if they don't put themselves in those uncomfortable positions enough, when it does happen, not that they couldn't save it or they're not strong enough or anything like that. It's just they haven't seen it enough. So they tend to make a mistake when that pops up in front of them.
There you go. Good stuff. We thank you. Thanks, Nate. Soxo, slide into the Title 24 DM. We'll get you, we'll point you in the right direction, send you over to Quadlock, get you free phone case. So we appreciate that. And everyone tuning in to Title 24, whether you're watching on Peacock or the Motorsports on NBC YouTube page, or on your favorite podcast website. We appreciate everyone tuning in, watching, or listening.
That's right. He's also a U.S. Marine. So,
yes.
JH, let's get me in one of those planes, buddy. Let's go fly. Yeah.
Yes, we appreciate we appreciate your service, Nate.
Thank you.
Heroism, man. Awesome stuff. Before we say goodbye here, let's do a quick preview. East Rutherford, I think, you know, hey, listen, the 450s are going to do what they're going to do. I'm looking forward to the showdown. Jet, Hunter, you know what? I think Hunter's title's on the line, but I think we're going to see, I think there's going to be a wild card. You think Hayden Deegan could get in there? You think he's ready for a win?
He's not far off of it. He's not far off of it. The way he rode heat race, you know, obviously made that mistake in on the on-off. To me, it looked like he completely hit neutral, but you know, that tends to happen sometimes. But overall, his riding, he's not far off of a win. He gets a couple give me's, I guess, you know, with maybe he gets a whole shot, and you know, you got a couple guys further in the pack that he's racing against. I think it very well could happen before the season's over. He's been riding phenomenal.
He has. It's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be so much talk and so much hype about the Hunter and Jet battles, but dude, like, I hate to deflate everyone's balloon, but those guys are so smart. I don't think that they're going to put themselves in a situation that they don't need to be in. So that battle that we're going to want to see, I hope we get to see a battle, but I don't know that they're going to do anything silly to jeopardize what the big picture is. That's kind of well, what I expect from the guys. I don't, like I said, I don't need to be a downer, but those guys are, their IQ is so good, and there's a lot at stake, because if Hunter wins, he could win the championship this weekend.
Exactly. I think that you're going to see, you know, when it comes down to them racing each other, you know, if championships are both wrapped up, we'll probably get the best out of both of them. But also, they're going to be smart. Outdoors is around the corner, so they're not going to push it too far, because to your point, they're just very intelligent, smart individuals on the motorcycle. But if the championship isn't wrapped up at the shootout, you know, I think that there's definitely going to be, I think there's going to be some leeway there, because there's a big points gap for Jet. Hunter's not as big, but with Nate out now, you know, that takes one guy out of the deck of cards. So, you know, like I said, if they both got them wrapped up, I think we should see some good racing from both of them. But if not, I think we're going to see some leeway.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be exciting. I'm sure they'll give us some great content to talk about. The 450s will, but certainly it's getting down to crunch time. The showdown's always fun, so we'll have a lot to talk about. Before we say goodbye, hey, a lot to look forward to this weekend. It starts Thursday, SMX Insiders with Jason Wygant, Daniel Blair. Check them out. You can find it on YouTube. Then Saturday, Race Day Live gets kicked into action, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Check that out. Going to be good. 90 minutes later, grab second screen, watch MotoGP from Coda on NBC. An amazing race, in case you didn't see that. Guys were going all over the place. It was nuts. After that, jump on Peacock early. We've got a pre-show for you guys at 6:30. And, man, I think this is great. I think this is great, RV, for the sport to have that 30-minute extra preview. Kind of gives us or the people to dive in and share with our viewers what it's about. And then the XMX show follows that on YouTube. But nevertheless, it's going to be good. Who knows, man? I don't know who's going to win this weekend. All I want to see is a good race. That's all I got to say, right?
Yeah, that's right. No, and it hasn't disappointed yet this year. I think we're we're coming down to, or the fans and all of us that are digesting and breaking everything down. It's not going to have nothing short to talk about. Looking forward to Saturday and have him kick it off again and see where the cards fall.
That's right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate you guys. Going to try to, next week, have a couple special guests on the show. We're going to try to get Jet and Hunter on here. I don't know. I'm going to have to do some fancy footwork. You're going to also, we're going to have to stretch those relationships that we got, RV, and try
That's
to
right.
title 24. And hopefully we can talk shop about the showdown and how it goes. But thank you everyone for listening, watching. Thanks again to our partners, United Motorsports, Quad Lock, Boxer USA. We appreciate you guys. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can watch it on demand, which is really cool, on Peacock, or you can go to Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. Remember, special pre-race show starts at 6:30 p.m. on Peacock this Saturday. You won't want to miss it. Appreciate everyone for tuning in to Title 24. Make sure you like, subscribe, send us those questions. We'll do the best that we can to answer as many as we can. And we appreciate all the support. And until next week.